It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein during such occasion and the Arba'een pilgrimage and this season of pilgrimage, in fact. Somebody asked the question, and I would like you to share your response. And according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas, of course, you know, somebody asked that he's a college student, all right, and he says that I am just recently enrolled in the final term of my undergraduate school. I would really like to travel to Karbala for the occasion of Arba'een. But I am certain that if I mention this trip, you know, to Karbala, to Iraq, to my father, he will not, you know, give me permission because the roads are really crowded and for other obvious reasons, in fact, his concerns, and for a number of other reasons, of course. Is it permissible that I embark on the trip without informing my parents and let them know only when I'm well or already on the way?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If traveling without your parents' knowledge will cause them to be distressed or put them under, you know, unnecessary distress, it is not permissible. Because basically it's not permissible to do anything that causes, you know, that hurts your parents or that keeps them anxious or, you know, cause them to worry about you. Of course, your father forbids, for example, if your father or mother forbids you from traveling for Arba'een out of love and concern, that's very important. That the main point that we need to take into account is, if they forbid you out of love and concern, you must obey. Because if you disobey your parents,
right,
they are going to feel definitely hurt. They will be they will not be at ease leaving you to go to Iraq or to Iraq because of for whatever reasons, because they don't feel secure or because it's not safe there, or maybe because of that pressure, the crowd that is there, and because of the hot weather, they are going to get worried about you. So if they forbid you from traveling because of their own love and concern for you, you must obey them and must not do anything that hurts them or keeps them in distress.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I see. Okay. Can a person who's in debt to his relatives, friends, and you know relatives that participate in the Arba'een pilgrimage, because we know that lots of people are in debt, you know,
sure,
either to the banks or to their friends, I mean, to institutions or individuals. Is it permissible for those people, you know, to participate in the Arba'een pilgrimage? We all know that, you know, there are some costs involved, right, in such, let's say, a ceremony or pilgrimage. So do they have to settle their debts first and then embark on this trip or pilgrimage, you know, during this season? Or no, they can go and travel and then come back and settle their receipt?
Well, if the time agreed upon for the repayment of debt has not arrived, if the time has not arrived,
right,
or if the creditor allows an extension in the repayment period, it is obviously permissible for the debtor, for you who has taken a loan or borrowed money from someone, to participate in the Arba'een, in the Arba'een, because the time is extended, you're not under pressure, and the time of repayment of the debt is not due, so you can participate in the Arba'een pilgrimage. But if the repayment date has arrived and the creditor demands the repayment of his debt, then, of course, repayment of the debt takes precedence over going to the pilgrimage, because repaying your loan or paying off your debt, is obligatory.
Obligatory, but the pilgrimage...
It is urgent, and you must pay it immediately, mm-hmm. as and when mm-hmm. the creditor asks you or demands the repayment of the debt. And you cannot, let's say, bypass or somehow evade the repayment.
I see.
And, of course, there are narrations, riwayat, and also reports which quite succinctly and clearly indicate that the repayment of the debt is more important. Even if when you are praying and the creditor comes at your door,
yes.
and if he is in a hurry, you must break your prayer according to the fatwa of the religious scholars.
Right.
So it's so important
and urgent
that one undertakes the trip without owing someone. And if he owes someone some money, he should go to his door and ask him to allow him to repay his loan at a time when he is able to repay it.
I see. Thank you very much.
And of course, it is important to know that people who, for example, who do not pay their loans or debt and embarks on such a journey,
right.
The journey is considered to be a journey of sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sinful journey.
Right.
And of course, in a sinful journey, a person has to offer full prayers.
Right.
Full prayers.
Yes.
Because it's always the case with...
Yes.
With
I will ask you this question later about the prayer, because we have a couple of questions related to that some people asked us.
And but maybe if you can allow me to just conclude it,
sure.
You see, he has to offer the four rakats in full, and he cannot shorten his prayers because it's a journey of sin, and it's always the case with a sinful journey, and that's the main point that one has to remember. And of course, we do see in my own neighborhood, I myself see a lot of people who just leave their town and their city for Karbala.
Mm-hmm.
I do know very well that these people have a lot to repay in terms of the debt that they have, but they don't care about it. That's not good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a very late break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
Stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces, who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing. To me.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Mohan Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker here. Well, we are talking about, the Arba'in season and Arba'in pilgrimage, or the walk of the Arba'in. And, let me ask you this question. Sheikh Javed, is it permissible, in fact, to take a loan or to take some money from your friends and embark on this journey, the Arba'in walk?
There's no objection to someone taking money from his friend, or borrowing money from a bank in order to embark on a journey of this kind, because let's say that he is going to be able to repay his loan, and there's no objection to him because he sees, and he has a job, he has a source of income, and he will be able to repay his loan, and therefore there's no objection to him going on such a journey, and of course paying his debt at a time when it is convenient or when it is possible for him.
I see. And if somebody does not have a good reputation, for example, I'm talking about the debtor, what happens to the creditor? I mean, can the creditor, in fact, withhold his money and not give her or him a loan, in fact, to take on this journey?
Giving a loan is not necessary for a person, you know. When you know that the person does not have a good reputation and he's not in the habit of paying his loan on time, so one can choose not to give,
right?
Okay? Because he will not have to, you know, have to bear the headache and ask him and demand the repayment of his debt, because he will have to, maybe probably sometimes he might even humiliate himself.
Sure.
By going to him and asking him, and asking is not good.
Yes,
it's always important for a person who is, for a debtor, to repay his loan before the creditor comes to his door and asks him, because that's not good. Morally speaking, that's not good.
Okay, inappropriate. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, and thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new